Hey everybody, this is Greg here with Flight Docs, and we're here for episode 3 of the Flight Docs Insights podcast. Here with me today, I have Sam Wilson. Sam joined our team, I guess, about 6 months ago?
Officially in April.
Okay, so it's been a couple months. Sam's been working on our product development team as a business analyst, and has been working on our Flight Docs operations platform. So, which is coming along as we're doing releases every 2 weeks, and development's moving pretty quickly there. So we'll talk a little bit about Flight Docs operations and a little bit about that product, where we're at with it, and what customers can expect. But wanted to introduce you to, you know, to our listeners and our customers, and get a little bit of info about, you know, your experience, where you come from, and what you've been up to here at Flight Docs.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to come in and speak. Without going into a long story, I got my pilot's license when I was 16. That kind of started the bug. I actually had to have my parents drive me to the airport so that I could go fly.
Okay.
So that was always kind of a fun thing. And then that kind of set the bug in aviation. And, you know, I worked my way through college working on the flight line for Signature Flight Support there in Austin. And I got to touch airplanes and be around mechanics and the whole operations there. And I really aspired to be a pilot, actual professional pilot.
Sure.
But, you know, running through college, paying your way, things get kind of lean. So I took my last little bit of money and got my dispatch license.
Okay.
My FAA dispatcher's license. And then that got me kind of, after I graduated from college, an introduction into flight operations as airlines apply it.
Sure.
And worked my way from the bottom of being just a scheduler all the way up to director of system control for a company there for almost 15 years. And then when unfortunately, the cyclic nature of the airline business, it got me into 135 charter operations. So I started working for several different companies there. But I've always been centric in learning software. And whatever software we were using, I was the go-to guy, whether it was Bornemann or Sabre or any of these other platforms. Kind of people shied away that weren't very software-centric.
Sure.
And I was always the guy that would open up the closet and reset the servers and
sure.
do things like that or be on call. So I've always been kind of like that. So over the years, I've kind of done some consulting work and got me to companies like 4Flight to do some small contracts and other platforms. And here I am at Flight Docs and started out as a contractor. And within a couple of months, you know, here I am full time, glad to be here and working really in the trenches with the dev team.
Cool. So how's that... I guess, how's that process been? I know that you kind of came in, I guess had already been working on operations.
Sure,
I think we had started in March, April timeframe of last year. You know, we worked with a number of customers to gather a lot of the requirements, and we had a lot of the kind of general concepts behind what we wanted to do with Flight Ops. And so started developing it. We have other business analysts here, but we were looking for additional resources and somebody with additional experience in this area of the flight department.
Sure.
So since coming on, what's your experience been like, and what have you been able to add to the process?
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I was pleasantly surprised when I came on board. There was a really good foundation of flight operations software in place, you know, in our different environments. And the first thing right off the bat, you know, understand that I've used a lot of those legacy software packages out there. The intuitiveness of what was already in the pipeline and already, you know, able to test was pretty impressive. I was pretty impressed with the fact that it took me, I remember my first day here, after getting the goodies, the computer, I got released to getting a user sign on to the platform, and I was like 30 minutes later, I was already demoing it back to my folks in the dev team. And that says a lot, not
sure.
just because I know a little bit about software and flight operation software, but if I was an end user, that was a perfect little run there to see how quickly someone can pick up on what
sure.
is available. And we've added so much
yeah.
in the sprints that we've had since then.
Sure. Yeah, and that's, I think, in general, that's always one of the things that Flight Docs is always focused on and on, you know, with our maintenance platform, inventory. These are, in general, like complex tasks, you know, right? So,
absolutely.
You know, from building a trip to executing flight logs, it's not as simple as, you know, just snapping a picture and posting it online. There's a lot of data points. There's obviously regulatory issues and compliance and record keeping. So these are complex tasks, but the way that we develop software has always been focused on, you know, trying to keep it as simple as possible. You should be able to give someone with some experience in our case, whether it's a mechanic or a technician or a parts manager, a pilot, scheduler, dispatcher, as long as they have the gist of what they need to do and the concept of the platform, they should be able to get in there, use it with, you know, little or no training. And that's something that we're trying to continue as we develop and head towards the release of Flight Ops.
Absolutely. And the one thing that I'd like to add to that is that you already had that reputation with the maintenance side. You took a complex process and a side of the aviation industry that hasn't been done well over the years and has gotten kind of old and dusty.
Sure.
And you've polished it, you've made it intuitive, and now that is also coming over to the flight operations side, where kind of the legacy stuff out there is a little antiquated, looks a little old, and takes a lot of downtime for someone to actually learn the product and
be sure.
proficient, right?
Yeah.
And here we are making something that's complex, but also intuitive and easy for someone that, even if they don't have knowledge, with very little downtime, can be up and running and
sure.
very useful to
yeah.
the operation.
Yeah, for sure. And we try and keep it easy because, you know, when you go into a flight department, they've been doing things for a long time and they have their, you know, their policies and procedures, and breaking that and changing all of those things can obviously be a big obstacle, right?
It's a painful event for some.
Sure. And especially, you know, if you have larger operations, there's a lot of people involved, there's a lot of hands on the system. So that intuitiveness and creating a workflow that doesn't require weeks of training, where, you know, you could get in there and maybe with a half hour overview or an hour in depth, you know, dive into the platform, you can pretty much do what you need to do.
Absolutely.
So I guess, you know, you've obviously worked on a number of different systems, especially on the flight operations side, you know, scheduling, dispatch. I guess what would you say the key differentiators are that you're seeing in Flight Docs operations?
The biggest thing that you notice when you open up the platform is how uncluttered it is.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other legacy software tends to be a lot of information constantly on display in your face, and it can't be whittled down to a simpler view.
Sure.
I think a lot of the products out there try to be everything to every operation, and that's fine, but then, you know, the small guy with three airplanes has to look at a robust software that can support 3,000 airplanes,
right?
And then all the associated tabs and windows and sections,
buttons
are all there. It's
sure.
like if you walked into a 747 cockpit and you're like, I'm just a private pilot, so a lot of this is overwhelming for me,
right?
It all means some of the same things, but it's just overwhelming. So it's not overwhelming. The thing about Flight Docs is it absolutely makes sense and it flows. It's a workflow and it follows the workflow of what a scheduler would want.
Sure.
And I hope that's what I brought to the table here in the development process, is to bring that, you know, experience of sitting a 12-hour shift at a screen and having to live with a product that kind of, you know, some of the old products have always never fit very well. They're like an old shoe that, well, you just get used to it, right? You get used to the old shoe. You don't want to take it off because you don't want to buy any new shoes and break them in. Well, that's the thing about flight docs. You don't have to really, there's not much break-in period.
Right.
It's get the information in and run.
Sure. Yeah, and I noticed, you know, earlier this week I sat down with you and Ryan, and we did, you know, a deep dive into the platform and kind of where it's the advancements and evolution over the last couple months. And, you know, as you look at the other platforms out there, you know, they can be very powerful, but they've been built upon. They keep stacking features on top of features, and again, they're legacy software. You know, they maybe started out 15, 20 years ago, maybe
mid-90s for some.
So one of the things that I know we had set out to do was try and make it where it's not overwhelming for that smaller operator, but it does have the ability to be complex enough for an operator with 50 or 100 aircraft. Absolutely. With bases all over the world.
Absolutely.
And you can kind of see that with a lot of the customization and configuration that we've done.
Absolutely.
For example, you know, I'm looking at the aircraft groups. Mm-hmm. Functionality where Absolutely. You can set up aircraft and also personnel in any fashion that you want. So if you wanted to group your crew based on their geographic location, you could group them based on the type of aircraft that they're able to fly.
Right.
So and the customer has complete control over that. We don't need to be involved. And things like the flight logs, you know, that's one of the big things that, you know, when I was out there meeting with customers, everybody has their, you know, they have their standard fields. Obviously, you're going to need your, you know, destination, your origin, your destination. You're going to need your flight times. You're going to need your crew. But everybody has these minor differences on their flight log, especially when it comes to, you know, are you Part 91, sure. 135?
Absolutely.
What's your business like? Are you a charter? Or are you doing forestry? Are you air ambulance? So there's all these differences, and we've created a platform where you can go in and essentially create a fully customized flight log. So those are some of the things that I see. I know that we've also really focused in on the communication and being able to have kind of interdepartmental communication.
Absolutely.
Can you kind of talk to that feature and maybe in your past life how these features would have been beneficial?
Absolutely. So what we have is Flight Docs Connect, and Flight Docs Connect is a in-app and in-platform communication device. Whereas the pilots have the app out in the field, the scheduler is on the website. They're able to seamlessly connect with each other through the trip, from the trip level.
Sure.
Right? And be able to communicate absolutely important information regarding that trip, whether they're running delayed, passengers not here, whatever those issues that used to be done via email, outside text messaging, or a phone call having to run back into the FBO.
Sure.
All those things now can be done simultaneously with FD Connect. And not really many. I don't know of anybody else out there that has something similar to that, and that is so instantaneously updatable. I mean,
sure,
it's instant. Right to flight operations, they get that information, and I tell you, that's going to save the customer a lot of headaches.
Yeah,
because a lot of that communication, as long as the pilot has, you know, his cell phone's connected on the ground to Wi-Fi or cellular signal, or the aircraft has a Wi-Fi system on board, even in flight, we could be sending information back and forth that is, it's very important to the success of that trip.
Sure. Yeah, I think one of the main focuses is that we want to keep that aircraft, you know, in service.
Absolutely.
And available for use as much as possible. So having quick turnaround, quick communication between mm-hmm. whether it's the crew, maintenance, scheduling, you know, the different areas Absolutely. Of the company is pretty critical. And then I know we also kind of built around that Connect. We also have a lot built in there around like crew briefings. Mm-hmm. So being able to you know, attach documents, and share information, like the FBO or passenger preferences, ground transportation. You know, schedulers are just going into the platform, building out that trip, hitting a button that says brief crew, and the crew's getting a notification right there on their phone or on their iPad, and they can see all those details. So, you know, creating a PDF or an email with all that information and sending it, there's obviously efficiency problems with that, and also a lot of room for error, or you know, change management becomes a problem. So those are some key things that I'm seeing.
So legacy speaking, most flight departments have always relied on the inbox, right? The horrible inbox that receives emails and junk, and everything else has to be then sorted and triage to an appropriate folder. And then that is how we used to do it, right? And it was very inefficient because, you know, a missed email is a missed email. It's a missed opportunity to make the trip successful. And in this business, we need to be so focused on attention to detail. Flight Docs makes that attention to detail task very simple. You can attach things to trips, even all the way to the leg level, right? Make it leg specific. There's no more digging around and deciding, well, is this for the Denver leg or is this for the Vegas leg? It doesn't matter now.
Right.
We can attach all that information to the leg. And it's just been an absolute eye-opener for me because I have to sometimes untrain myself from the legacy way of thinking and be thinking forward to how the platform works. And it's been a really fun time.
Cool. So I know, coming onto this team, I think recently you just got certified for as a product owner. We use a methodology here, which is called Scrum, which is a form of Agile. And can you talk to us a little bit about what that process looks
like? So in my past, I've always been on the outside looking in at that process. I knew about it. I was a consultant or whatever, and I would make suggestions and someone else would run with that idea or something and put it into the process, right?
Sure.
I knew that there was this thing called Jira and all these things, but I was never really as heavily involved here. Absolutely bought into the process. Once I went through the training and learned what Agile means as a concept and then what Scrum means to the development process, it was really something that opened my eyes to there is a way, there is a methodology, there is a concept of how we deal with people on a day-to-day basis and how we can be members of a team, whether it's a development team or an implementation team, sales team, but we can all be parts of this team and own parts that we are responsible for, but not necessarily have the manager oversight kind of a concept. So Agile is kind of an autonomous responsibility shared situation, and it's been eye-opening for me. But when I went through training, it absolutely really made it clear of how our development team does things, the sprints, the we don't sit over people and make sure that they're doing the different cards for the thing, for the items or the features. Everybody just does their job,
right?
And everybody feels proud of how they come out of the other end. Right now we're getting ready to close out a sprint here, and you know, everybody's really working hard today to make sure that we hit our deadlines, and very seldom do we not.
When you know, Sam, you're mentioning sprints, you know, how it's set up here is we are doing 2-week sprints for both our ops and our maintenance product, and before that sprint begins, we take a look at what's open. We have a number of stories, and so the stories are new features and functionality. We take a look at the previous, you know, what exists inside of the system right now in our backlog, and we prioritize. You know, we say, okay, what's going to be most important for the majority of our customers, and then if we have particular customers that have particular needs, we take all of that and we basically rank it, and we go to town. We start developing, and we build out the requirements. We obviously work with our customers. We work with internal stakeholders here. So it may be our customer service or our customer success team, sales and marketing. And we come up with the concept for what we want to develop.
Absolutely. And I can imagine without the process, if you don't mind me adding, I'm here. You know, what this does is it gives a definite roadmap of how to do production in a development world.
Sure.
You know, before getting involved here, I kind of knew how this worked, but it was still a little bit foreign for me. But it absolutely is a great way to set the roadmap forward. And we can know what we need to do, you know, 2 months from now, 6 months from now, what are those goals? And the team keeps eating the elephant in little chunks.
Sure.
Right? And we keep building towards it. And I know that I learned in my certification process that some companies do sprints like once every quarter.
Right.
I can't imagine doing a whole quarter of sprint. Yeah. That's a lot of work, and that's a lot of, you know, where are you in the whole process? And then it's a huge release.
Right.
Well, with huge releases come a lot more bugs and a lot more issues.
Sure.
So with these short, agile sprints, we're hitting it. We're making sure that we have the best product released out there.
Yeah. And I think it you know, the way that we've always done things is just really focusing in on continuous improvement, right?
Absolutely.
So you have this, this, you know, major platform, FlightDocs Operations, and to build it, you know, or even just looking at a specific module or feature in there, you know, to build it to 100% or what you think is 100%, like the idea of, well, we can build out the requirements so that once we build it, we never have to touch it again. And it's something that's pretty unrealistic, I think, for a few reasons. You know, one is that you don't know everything, right? and until it's really being used by customers of all shapes and sizes, you're not going to know what you don't know,
exactly.
Right?
And that's totally right.
And so this process allows us to really identify the key functionality that has to be in there for most customers, build it to those specs, release it, get it into their hands, take feedback, and that just goes into one of our next sprints, right?
Absolutely.
So it's just a continuous improvement process. So once FlightDocs Ops is out, which we're going to be releasing here in I guess late summer, mm-hmm. Early fall timeframe, it's not done. It's a continuous
Absolutely.
Development.
Well, the industry evolves, right?
Sure.
I mean, who thought drones would be around, you know, 10 years ago? We all thought they were toys and were just something people played with and
sure.
took pictures of houses with. But that whole technology, autonomous flights, all this stuff is coming. And, you know, I firmly believe that we'll be ready to tackle those as they come.
Very cool. Yeah, we're excited about a lot of the opportunity that we have out there, and you know what this product is going to be able to do for our current customers, and what it's going to be able to do in the future for operations that barely exist today. Speaking of future development, we won't mention the customer's name, but we have taken on, you know, we have had the capacity for custom development for some mm-hmm. of our larger customers or customers that have, you know, kind of specific needs. And right now, I think we have about a 4-month project mm-hmm. for a well-known company out there in the industry. They have some specific needs around flight operations.
Sure.
Can you give a little bit of a rundown on what that process has looked like and how we work back and
sure.
forth with that customer?
Absolutely. It's been a really good experience so far. The collaboration has been streamlined. It's you know, personal.
Mm-hmm.
It's daily. It's, you know, we're contacting daily. We have set, you know, meetings. They're very well and they're very versed on the Agile Scrum process.
Sure.
So they already know like what to expect from us.
Okay.
What's good to know is that the percentage of items that we're having to kind of customize for them are not going to be differentiated from anything anybody else would need. It's kind of like they've added to our platform.
Our core functionality.
Yes.
Right.
And that other people are going to be able to use these features in
sure.
addition to them as well. And on top of that, we kind of already had 90% of what they wanted. We just had to have a couple little bells and whistles that were specific to how they do things.
Sure.
From their perspective.
Sure. And it wasn't really, you know, it definitely takes resources, but we're with the methodology that we're using, we're able to keep developing, take their items, build them into our sprints.
Absolutely.
Some sprints may have, you know, 50% of their items in it. Some may have 100%.
Sure.
But we have the core platform.
Absolutely.
That, you know, whether it's on the maintenance side or on the operation side, a lot of the core functionality exists in there. And depending on, you know, you may be a very large operation, you may be a very unique operation, you may have, every business is different and you may have specific needs. So, you know, for our customers out there or other operations, keep that in mind. We do have the capability to bring our development team and resources to the table for custom development projects that relate to, you know, our core business.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, if there's a company out there that's, you know, special and they need some special things, you know, take a look at what we have to offer already and then just approach and let us know if there's anything we can help you with. But the main thing is that most of the functionality is already there. And what I'd like to kind of express here is FlightDocs is so customizable, right? It's not a square peg has to fit the square hole. I could be a charter company and the charter company next door to me, both of us use FlightDocs, and it could look completely different based on how we customize all the different features in there. So, and again, it's all in the back end. So it's not all in your face and it's not all present at all times. You don't have all these setting buttons and stuff. It's all very intuitive and very easy to use. And it's been, it's changed even the way I think about how flight operations should run. I mean, it really has been a really wonderful experience in working on this project. And, you know, yeah, I think it's going to open up a lot of people's eyes to what they thought they needed.
Cool.
Versus what, hey, this might be what you need.
Sure. Sure. Very cool. Well, we are in the middle of an absolute monsoon and there's lightning strikes outside here coming down the parking lot. So Sam, appreciate you taking the time to talk. I think you're heading back to Texas tomorrow.
I am.
And I'm sure you'll be with us at NBAA here in October. So thank you. And
yes,
for all the listeners out there, stay tuned. We have a few more episodes lined up with a few of our team members and some others from the industry. So thanks for listening.